Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The latest powerful winter storm has slammed into California, just as Northern California was just beginning to recover from another storm over the New Year's weekend. The most recent storm once again brought strong winds, power outages, and flooding concerns. In response to the series of atmospheric rivers forecasted, Governor Gavin Newsom declared a state of emergency, with more storms forecasted in the coming days. Joining us to provide the very latest on the statewide emergency response and coordination is Brian Ferguson with the California Office of Emergency Services, known as OES. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
A lot has happened over the last 24 hours. What's the latest update you can share with listeners in Northern California regarding to the impacts of this latest storm?
Yeah, we're experiencing a large and complex weather pattern that's really impacting all of our state, from San Diego and Orange County in the south, all the way up to Humboldt County in the Oregon border. This weather pattern is impacting our state in different ways. You know, we got a night of precipitation that was maybe a little less here in the Sacramento region. However, in the Bay Area, we saw wind gusts of 80 miles an hour or more. You know, overall, there's a lot of trees down, a lot of infrastructure damage in terms of power outages. So there's a number of shelters set up in communities across the state, and really we're buckling up for several more days of challenging times, but, got through the first night, and there's certainly more work ahead for all of us.
Yeah, people may be familiar with, utility companies, gas and electric companies, as well as local emergency crews when dealing with the impacts of a storm. But what is the role of California's Office of Emergency Services in responding to severe weather that, as we're learning from you, can impact some communities greatly while leave others nearby less of an impact or even just relatively unscathed?
Ultimately, our job is to help keep people safe and healthy and protect property and infrastructure. Providing support if the challenges or the damage is greater than the ability of a local government to respond to really plug that gap and provide resources. Something like sandbags, we distributed more than 4 million of them in the last few weeks. We pre-positioned more than 400 tons of rocks and debris if we need to fill levees. And then bringing in contractors and support staff from other states to get the power back off if it goes down. The governor's executive order, one of the things it did is provide our utility partners with the ability to bring out-of-state resources. So we've had over 300 crews come in from Oregon, Nevada, Washington. So if we do have power lines go down, we can get those up and active rapidly. But certainly all Californians have a role to play with themselves to protect themselves and their families, and doing that preparation on the front end and not driving through, flooded roadways are just little things you can do to help keep yourself and your community safe.
Given that we're in our second severe winter weather event this week and additional storms are forecasted this weekend and into next week, how do these back-to-back systems complicate and challenge emergency response on the one hand and recovery on the other?
Yeah, we're really recovering and responding simultaneously. The saturation of the water in our creeks, streams, and culverts is a challenge, right? Anyone who's driven by the river in the last couple of days has seen just how much water is already in the system. That water will continue to flow even after the storm has passed. And then, locally, that saturation combined with the winds can weaken, trees or telephone poles or anything that's in the ground. And so having so much rain in a compact period of time is something that we worry about. The forecast for the storm was similar to what we saw in 2017, which is when the atmospheric river really parked over the Butte County and Feather River watershed and created the problems with the Oroville Dam. So, while we don't anticipate anything like that for this particular storm, we are making preparations so that we have every tool at our disposal to help keep folks safe and be able to react quickly for whatever the weather ends up doing.
Right, going back to 2017, your new director of Cal OES, Nancy Ward, who's just less than a week into this new position, she said yesterday that this may be one of the most challenging and impactful series of storms to touch down in California in the last 5 years.
Absolutely. You know, the 2017 is a good comparison point. Also, storms that we had in 1997, 1995, that many folks in the Sacramento region will remember, are probably similar comps. The thing about weather is it's fickle. And so, you know, we get weather forecasts and it may not hit the way that we anticipate, or it may, you know, stall over certain areas, which is what we saw over San Francisco over the New Year's Eve holiday. And so, you know, it's a really challenging situation, but our goal here is to lean forward, be prepared, and ultimately provide whatever support we can to help the communities and individuals stay safe, with a particular emphasis on the most vulnerable among us, the people who rely on durable medical equipment or those experiencing homelessness.
What is Cal OES's role in helping the most vulnerable residents? You bring up an important point that the risk is not only isolated to the location, but also a person's circumstances. We have individuals who are experiencing homelessness without access to shelter, people with disabilities or medical issues, and people who are just older and need assistance, vulnerable residents without access to a generator, and also even just those with language barriers. What is the state's role in assisting these residents?
Yeah, California uniquely in our country has really leaned into our ability to support people who may be vulnerable, either because they're older, they have a disability, they may not speak English. And so we've invested hundreds of millions of dollars in education and outreach campaigns to let them know the steps to be prepared. And those situations like we have right now is really when that pays dividends. If we can work with local community-based partners, city and county officials, because oftentimes the best people to get the message out may not be us as a government. It could be a pastor at the church, or you know, a community leader who may be a more trusted messenger than perhaps the state is. We've also worked with our hospitals and our utilities to be able to sign people up so they can get either advanced notification, they can get free generators in many cases if they rely on medical equipment. And we can also, in some cases, carve out individuals who require certain medical attention, whether they're a medical baseline customer. So, you know, a lot of steps have been taken. But ultimately, the best thing we can do is each and all, every one of us can check on a neighbor. If you have an older neighbor or family member, communicate with them. And that neighbor helping neighbor is one of the most direct and best ways to keep people safe.
Yeah, as you say, there's so many moving parts to this from a statewide level. Given that Nancy Ward, who's the new director for Cal OES, just took over about 4 or 5 days ago, over for Mark Ghirarducci, who was the director of Cal OES for about a decade, what impact does a change in leadership have in response, especially when that change in command happened just days ago?
We're really lucky to have a new old leader. And I don't say old in terms of age, but someone who's previously with us. Nancy was previously the chief deputy director of Cal OES for about 4 years. She was also the national head of the Federal Emergency Management Agency under the Obama administration. You know, came out of retirement to take this job. One of the most senior emergency managers in the entire country. So we are very lucky to have her. And in particular, one of the last projects she worked off before she left last time was the 2017 Oroville Dam situation. She's the one who secured the billions of dollars of federal funding to rebuild the spillway. So certainly she brings that expertise and has been put to work right away. So we're very lucky to have Nancy.
We're talking about strong winds as well as the potential of flooding, but up at the higher elevations, there's also ample amount of snowfall. And earlier this morning, the Sierra Avalanche Center, based in Truckee, issued an avalanche warning for the central Sierra Nevada mountains. And that spans from Ebbets Pass, which is located in Alpine County, north to Yuba Pass in Sierra County. And that encompasses the greater Lake Tahoe area. That high avalanche danger will occur through tomorrow morning. What is Cal OES's role in mitigating and responding to this type of risk?
Yeah, one of the other things we do is we facilitate search and rescue teams through our local government fire departments and law enforcement. And so, you know, whether it's a swift water rescue, which we have teams pre-positioned across the state for high rivers and streams on jet skis and boats, to mountain and snow rescue. You know, we help coordinate that and fund it through the local government. So, you know, we have a broad and diverse and geographically different state. And so we have many challenges all at one time. We may have snow surges in the Sierra and storm surges at the Pacific Ocean and everywhere in between. And so You know, working to support local governments like the other folks you're going to have on the program later, who are really the first ones on the ground who do so much of the critical work, and being able to empower them to succeed, and then stepping in if there's any additional support that we can provide as these challenges occur. All disasters are local, and, you know, really many of the folks who are on the ground do such a tremendous job helping their communities.
Disasters, which also include earthquakes, and it's been about 2 weeks since a strong magnitude 6.4 earthquake shook the North Coast. It was followed by a sizable aftershock on New Year's Day. How do these storms complicate efforts to help communities in the far northwest corner of our state?
You know, luckily, our teams that were on the ground after the earthquake that occurred on December 20th really never left. We've been doing damage assessments, local assistance centers, helping the community house individuals who are displaced by that earthquake. And the storm impacts in this part of the state have not had any made any additional challenges on that response. And so we continue to be up in Humboldt County, supporting the communities of Rio Del, Fortuna, in the impacted areas there, and we'll continue to be there until that community gets back on its feet. Yesterday alone, the Federal Small Business Administration approved financial assistance for that community, so that will help people get low interest loans to rebuild their homes or businesses that had losses. And we'll continue to look for financial incentives, whether they're state, local, or federal, to help people who are impacted by that earthquake.
Finally, Brian, we have more storms forecasted this weekend and into early next week. What is your advice? Should people reschedule or cancel plans if they're planning to travel this weekend? And does it differ depending on whether you want to travel by road, by train, or by air?
You know, we don't want Californians to feel like they're isolated or can't do things they need to do. But what we do want them to do is think ahead and be thoughtful. Caltrans has a very helpful tool called the Quick Map. So if you want to check the road conditions where you're going, and certainly if you're asked by emergency responders either not to drive down a certain road or to evacuate because of flooding or snow or anything else, we encourage people to absolutely follow those directives because it's for your own safety. Individuals who get caught or try to travel through roads, as we saw in the Wilton and Highway 99 area, the water can be deceiving. And so, you know, if you see emergency directions, whether it's signage, an alert from your county, please follow that. And if you're not signed up for alerts, today is a great day to sign up for that locally.
Yeah, there have been reports, and you just reminded me of something that's really important. There have been reports of deaths in connection to these series of storms from the Bay Area into Sacramento County. Is that unusual?
You know, unfortunately, we do see that with significant events, whether it's a wildfire, an earthquake, a flood. Floods are actually one of the more devastating and, you know, deadly disasters that we have. And so we have seen reports of that. The local county sheriffs are usually the ones who are charged with attributing it, whether it's to, you know, natural causes that occurred at the same time as the flood or fire, or if it's directly attributed to it. But I think it's a challenging and important reminder of the world that we live in, and that the importance of being prepared for yourself and your family.
Brian Ferguson is with the California Office of Emergency Services. Thank you for the time, Brian.
Thank you, Vicki. Have a great day.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with the California Office of Emergency Services, OES, about the state of emergency in response to winter storms. We're now going to focus on the storm's impact in the Central Valley. Joining us now is Tiffany Hare, Director of Emergency Operations for San Joaquin County, to provide the latest on the impacts of the storm and what resources are available for residents. Tiffany, thank you for making the time, considering all that you are working through right now.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
It has just been a long several days for you and the rest of your team. How are you and your colleagues doing, and how is the county doing today?
We have been hard at work since Saturday when that first storm system rolled through. We have been able to take a little bit of a break in the last couple of days to be prepared for this system that came in yesterday and overnight. We fared much better than we did going into Saturday's system. So we are in a good position at the moment.
What are you preparing, as there are more atmospheric rivers in the forecast from this weekend into early next week?
Yeah, just like Brian was saying, with having the resources pre-positioned, we have worked for several years, really since the 2017 floods, with our reclamation districts and levee maintaining agencies, Army Corps of Engineers, the State Department of Water Resources, in particular in our county, because of all of the waterways that run through the Delta. We have pre-positioned resources out in the reclamation district areas for flood fight. And with this storm in particular, we had a little bit of a different circumstance than we had seen before. There was a lot of power outages that caused some cascading effects that led to pumps being offline and not being able to clear water out of roadways and neighborhoods and that sort of thing. So what we had prepared for in the Delta with levee issues, we actually saw more here in the local urban areas where we just saw some localized flooding.
Right. I mean, San Joaquin County declared a local state of emergency on New Year's Day after that storm that you were talking about due to extreme damage. I mean, what does recovery look like right now? And how does that get further complicated or even challenged given that you had another system move through the area?
Correct. What we see is this is a compounding incident. We had Saturday's storm. We were able to get in on Sunday and Monday and start making those real life safety emergency repairs. So getting trees out of roadways, getting the power lines shut down, working with our local utilities, PG&E, and some of those to really make those life safety issues, mitigate those life safety issues to get those out of the way. Then we started in on some of the other issues, making sure that we had the pumps back up and running and making sure that we started getting additional sandbags out for residents and those sorts of things, clearing the road from debris and getting additional crews out onto those things. So we were able to get to a good point yesterday as the storm came in, but we still have lots of areas, parks that are closed due to downed trees and unsafe conditions. We still have standing water. We still have high water levels in a lot of our canal systems, waterways. Not necessarily the ones leading into the Delta and the ones that our levee systems are charged with handling, but in those smaller ones in the more rural areas, we haven't seen those go down. So as we get more rain and the system moves further to the east and drops more water and snow into the foothills and the mountain areas, all of that does come down through our waterways and ends up filtering back down into the Delta. So even though the storm has passed our area, we still see those results a couple days later. So we're always watching those waterways. We're always working with our crews to make sure that we are tracking any issues on those generally unmaintained waterways and being able to make the public aware of those issues.
Right. A flood watch advisory was issued by the National Weather Service, and it remains in effect for much of San Joaquin County until Friday morning. Are there any rivers or other waterways that are of concern at this point that could impact the levees or other critical water infrastructure?
It's really all of them that we're monitoring, making sure that we are tracking what is happening. We do see the potential of thunderstorms today. Those could drop heavy amounts of rain in short periods of time in very localized areas. So we work with our fire departments, law enforcement, everybody's watching those areas to maintain awareness. And if the situation changes, we'll be prepared to respond to it. We are watching certain areas more closely just because we've seen issues in the past, not that they have currently developed, but just to be prepared in case the situation changes rapidly. We want to be able to give our residents the most amount of time they have to be able to make the decision if they need to evacuate or not.
We're talking about severe weather for this week, which is the new year, but your month, December of 2022, was the wettest December on record for Stockton, which saw over 8.5 inches of rain. What has been the impact, if any, of that much rain on Stockton and the rest of the county?
Really, for that first part of December, we were in a good position. The rain came and we never had anything like this to where it all came at one time and we had those cascading effects, but we were able to get small amounts at a time and it would build up and the way that we like to see rain come in to recharge the systems and make sure that we replenish and we can continue to recover from drought. But this system came in so quickly. It did stall over some areas. So we saw a lot of water and a lot of water get charged into systems that hadn't seen water. So going through December, we were in a pretty good position. It was really just this last storm that hit us very hard and pushed us to that limit. And now we have this continuing series of storms that will continue to compound those issues.
Does this run the risk of becoming a response in catch-up, given that we have a series of atmospheric rivers forecasted throughout Northern California? and these severe weather events are kind of layering on top of one another?
Yeah, it can. That's what we're trying to watch for closely. We're working with our state and federal partners. So the Department of Water Resources, U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, Army Corps of Engineers, making sure that we are watching the releases from our reservoirs that are upstream of a lot of our river systems, make sure that they aren't making releases while we are still seeing high water impacts in the area that would compound those issues. So we're really making sure that on that aspect, on the things that we can control, that we are coordinating to make sure we don't overcharge things. We can't control the weather, unfortunately. We can't tell everybody to just stop and hold on, let us start over. But we can work with everybody that we have access to make sure that we, on our end as government officials or the entities that are charged with those systems, make sure that we aren't adding to it as a human caused problem.
Finally, Tiffany, we started this conversation with California Office of Emergency Services for a statewide look, and now we're talking to San Joaquin County. Each county has an emergency service agency like yours, fine-tuned to the needs of its community. What's unique about the challenges and the risks that comes with serving the San Joaquin County community?
Much like Brian had mentioned, we do see a different culture across the county. So we see we have very urban areas, but we also have very rural areas. Our waterways in the Delta in particular are maintained differently than the canals that may be on the east side of the county. So we have different people that we have to talk to. We have different things that we need to look at. But much like Brian had mentioned, we are still looking at that vulnerable population, which we know we have a high population of, making sure that we are doing outreach to the community through our partners, our community-based organizations, faith-based organizations, all of those agencies that really represent our entire community to make sure they have what they need to support their community and that we can support them to support their community. So it really is looking at everybody in the county and how can we support what they are doing from the ground up. And with sandbagging, we saw that as a need and we had the direction to go ahead and start supplying additional sandbags. So we now have 10 and 11 today, 11 additional sites across the county for people to go to, putting those in the areas where people need them the most and limit the amount of driving that they have to do and making that much more accessible to them. So we're working around the clock to meet those needs and identify any additional needs that are still outstanding.
Tiffany Hare is the Director of Emergency Operations for San Joaquin County. Tiffany, thank you for the time.
Thank you.
You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.